All right, once again, this is Mark Stanton Welch. This is Tools for the Times. We are on Block 3, Session 4, and it's Embracing New Paradigms of Belief. So this has been an interesting journey on this one. Not only did I have a pretty significant schedule of travel in place, but I happened to stumble upon what feels like some very interesting and different directions of stuff and related to thinking and the process of putting beliefs into place. That I'm going to do everything I can to actually get a start in them tonight. It looks to me like this particular session may even go beyond just the two, because there's some elements in it that I really think are worth exploring, and mainly because the power of beliefs is so profound. This thing can change everything. And when we change beliefs, we literally can change the forms of how life shows up for us. We can change how we project into the world. We can completely change our experience of it. And I think that this is very important. So I've been spending a bunch of time, whenever I had a chance, reading and doing my best to understand some of these new elements. And I'll just hint at some of those tonight, because tonight we're going to have some general statements. I'm going to also be putting into effect something called the nature of beliefs and the process of forming beliefs, the influence of the old paradigms, the new belief paradigms to consider, the power of choice as if and repetition, chakras and belief, and if I can get to it, using awareness to facilitate the change of beliefs. But that is kind of self-explanatory, but I just wanted to underscore that. And actually, I think I can do that when I talk about the power of choice as if and repetition. In the future, in next week's call, we'll be looking specifically at some very interesting techniques. There's a new thing coming around, much through the work of I'm forgetting his name right now, but The Biology of Belief was the gentleman's book, the first book. It came through Hay House, and it's right on the tip of my tongue, but Bruce something. And it's a process that's leading towards a thing called neurosculpting, about the sort of malleable capacity of the brain. Yeah, prior to that, prior to this information, and really well into the last century, the perspective has been that the brain is not a changeable item, that it's almost as if we were getting a certain amount of thoughts, certain amount of brain cells, and, you know, you get what you get, very much like the perspective on us. You get what you get, and you make the best of it, and then you die. That kind of is a sweeping perspective, one of those great paradigms that came from that whole Piscean age that we went through. Things are turning out to be so much different. And the more we enter into the quantum world, into the quantum physics and the ideas of the microscopic nature of things, and how when we get down into the realms of the atom, we begin to see that there's some very interesting things that occur that give credence to how some of the universal laws work. So it's very exciting information, and I'm looking forward to explore it even more. So I will give you more detail in terms of what our intention is going to be after tonight's call, maybe towards the end. We will definitely have a call next week that will be activity, but it may also be some teaching, and it may at the very least move into one more week worth of information and activity, because I want it to be in place as we move on. So let me go ahead and by the way, go ahead and star 6 so that anything that happens on your end isn't put onto the recording, so we'll be set on that. I'm going to start off actually with a couple mindsetters here, which are songs as information related that definitely apply to what it is that we're doing tonight. Then we'll go ahead and I'll set up some rattles and things to help shift the frequency, and then we'll be on our way. Now, I believe I started the call. That's right. Yes. Okay. I'm hearing some rustling in there, so if someone would go ahead and star 6 again just to make sure that that whatever's going on there will be certainly on your end. Lord, you give me this moment, and I see as I believe, I have but this golden moment. From it my life I have weaved, and if that life is not the way that I believe, the way I've dreamed, then I must see it differently. For my days reflect the ways I have been thinking. Creations, ancient forms have affrighted me. My attachment to these favored forms of thinking, they keep me locked away from my divinity. And so I throw away conventions and the fear that's held on. I let spirit flow through me. Be still within these endless golden moments, and listen for that holy voice of God. I will trust the light and wisdom of these moments, and my love will be the instrument of God. Unlimited by space and time, I am the light, and I shall always shine for me, for you. So I let love cleanse and purify my thinking, and let the citadel of anger fade away. In this world, nothing can harm me but my thinking. So I will always think of love as the only way. Today I pledge myself to the God of all, the light within me. My precious self is now reclaimed. Be still within these endless golden moments, and listen for the holy voice of God. And I will trust the light and wisdom of these moments, and my love will be the instrument of God. Unlimited by space and time, I am the light, and I shall always shine for me, for you. So, Lord, you give me this moment, and I see as I believe. So there's some key elements in that song there. There's some key pieces to what it is that we're paying attention to here tonight. Somebody's phone is still on there, so on the count of three, just go ahead and speak your name out loud, and then if I catch it, I'll just remind you to go ahead and do that. So one, two, three. There was nothing there. Okay. So maybe it's my phone that's speaking back. But at any rate, we're looking at paradigms. We're looking at belief systems in a sense that create a collective vibration. It starts with a single belief. It starts with a process of putting something into motion through repetition that we begin to create an allegiance to. So really, when we look at paradigms, we're really looking at beliefs. We're going to look at what puts a belief together, what the process is, what we go through in order to make ourselves believe something, and what is underneath that. We're going to talk about the nature of beliefs, which actually gets into the soup of the cosmos a bit. We're going to look at what we can do in terms of how to actually take advantage of this new information to cement in, well, that's not the right word, but it feels that way, to put in motion these new beliefs that support the energies of the times. Beliefs tend to be precious and personal. And because of that, those beliefs do get in the way. So whoever just came on, go ahead and please star six, and welcome to the call. Okay, so let me go ahead and read something here, put some energy in place. I have yet to post any of this, although a good deal of it is done. I've had to change the program I'm using from an older version to a new one because it kept crashing. Very frustrating, but it forced me to move into a brand new version of it, and I'm not sure how that's going to post actually on the website, so I have to spend some moments with it before I actually put it there. And anyway, it's not through in terms of the information and the exercises that I wanted to put on it. So let me go ahead and speak the introductory statement here. In this transition between the Piscean and the Aquarian epochs, a lot of the inner and outer forms are shifting. We are being made aware of how certain well-established beliefs are simply not accurate. This unsettling creates an inner shaking up, and this then impacts how life shows up for us. The reawakening that is occurring in one and all has many faces. It pushes against the current agreed upon paradigms and forces us to come face to face with what normal is. With each new awareness, the trust in the old ways is diverted to reach for new tenets that reflect the new energies. Now, as an aside here, please know, and you are completely aware of this, and not everybody is willing to do such things. Too often, when it comes to beliefs, people cling to them, and in fact, the more study I've done on it, it really is like an addiction. There's an addiction to a certain form that people will fight for, well, in fact, even die for, to keep the energy of holding it in place because the payoff is way too great. It appears that the payoff is coming down pretty much to what we've been looking at over the last two or three topics, which was about comfort zones. So we'll be looking at that tonight, and especially in relation to thinking, there's a very powerful comfort zone that we tend to live from. And it's hard to see sometimes from the inside of that whether it serves us or not. But I will submit at this point in time, no offense to any of us, including myself, that a good bulk of the beliefs that we have held on to and keep sustaining do not, in fact, serve us much anymore. And in fact, some may be downright interfering with our own personal reawakening. So it's important that we reach the place where we begin to look at these with forthrightness and also a willingness to be completely honest, open, and transparent to ourselves. Okay, reading on. What appears as chaos is a universal restructuring that is responding to the inflow of the higher frequency energies. The internal disruptions are necessary to dismantle the illusory comfort zone in place in culture, society, and individuals. It is a sweeping energy that is upsetting what we have built our sense of self and our lives upon. The paradigms that defined existence for us on Earth are being shown to be misdirections and or manipulations, far astray from the actual design and capacity of the dimension. This is unnerving and pushes against our impulse for survival. Such a fertile time it is. And so we each must establish new paradigms, or are invited to establish new paradigms, in alignment with the new vibrations that affirm life and also affirm the profound, intimate connection we have always had with the Source. So you can begin to see the importance of what we're looking at here. Will this change your world? Absolutely. But it's not necessarily going to be changed by understanding the process of beliefs. It's going to be changed by what you choose to do with it. I can parade a whole series of really cool thoughts in front of you, and I've done that since this whole thing started. But that doesn't guarantee by any means that you're going to subscribe to them. And even if you do, you may lose momentum. Because belief changing, although it's much more felicitous in these times, it moves much more quickly than in the past, it still requires some personal attention and a personal tending to a particular process to put those actually in place. The classic is that it takes 21 days to put a new habit and or a belief in place. I don't know if that holds anymore. It may be quicker. And through various techniques that we're going to see, as we begin to understand the nature of the brain, the nervous system, and the process of setting a belief in place through its relationship with the conscious, the unconscious, and the subconscious minds, not to even mention the universal laws that are in place impacting us on a vibrational level and an energetic level. There is so much going on here that we have not looked at because most of the perspectives have been based upon old thinking. And the old thinking itself does not entertain without reservation anything beyond the physical earth plane and the devotion and loyalty to the brain as the main device that contains the I am-ness of who we are, although there is no reference to that in terms of I am-ness. It just says, this is me. Well, sorry, the brain is not us. It is a vehicle that holds consciousness and energy that is transferred and utilized to actually make the forms of how life shows up for us. We exist long beyond and after the brain itself has turned to the dust from whence it came. This is a new paradigm belief, essentially, in that sense, that has been struggling to take place. And one of the reasons things struggle to take place is because the others are so entrenched. And why are they so entrenched? We'll be looking at that as it goes on. But just to give an overview very quickly, they're entrenched because they've been put into place for so long. Not only through generation after generation or lifetime after lifetime, but also through the primary elements of learning that each of us have encountered since we have incarnated in this life. From the influence of the belief systems and the energy accompanying energies of the primary host, the mother, into the actual family unit that we are born into and the personal paradigms that feed that particular environment, and then all of the things that happen after that in the enculturalization and the socialization that happens as we enter into the bigger world. The influence of culture, society, friends, communities, friends, political ideas and systems, notions about work, behind the scenes belief systems, you name it, on down the line. And not even to mention those elements that come in with as we carry them with us to work on personally, those things can profoundly impact how we either set our belief system or how we respond to it or how we maintain it or how we adjust it. So let's look at the nature and the biology of beliefs. I'm going to offer more on biology of beliefs as I digest more of Bruce Lipton, that's his name, his work. But there is a mention in it here in terms of what I'm talking about. So here we go. Up until this moment, our beliefs are learned. The direct results of decisions made from personal life experience since the moment of inception. Some beliefs are heavily suggested by family and culture, but even these are subject to personal analysis and adjustment. For most humans, they simply move forward with beliefs that they think define them, that reflect in the world as one. But this dimension is not as it seems, and the limitations we believe are part of it are just basically not true. In these times, all beliefs are up for re-examination. Honestly, many are outdated and debilitating. The frequencies flooding the planet are intended to shake loose the lies, yes, I've said it, and purposeful programming that has infected most of humanity. Regardless of the reason this has happened, though this is an interesting and deep exploration, it is a fertile time to cleanse the old thoughts, the old beliefs and patterns, and reawaken and plant and invoke new ones that are about power, balance, and magnificence. The beautiful gift of the multiverse is that we can change our beliefs at any time. These new beliefs will manifest new experience. Truthfully, you can teach an old dog new tricks. In fact, this is absolutely required in these times. The restlessness of most lives is a sure sign that interchange is afoot. The patterns that we recognize as counterproductive and disempowering are ready for a sweeping change. Reawakening the template of who we are is one of the profound elements of these times. We have been implanted with universal truths that were whitewashed by living and intentional programming. As we choose to call these forth, we expand and experience this dimension very differently. We wake up. Testing and adopting these new perspectives allows us to consciously embrace and become that which we resonate with. Then, the repetition of thought and action makes the new belief a functioning template for our moments of living, based upon universal principle and law. Our lives blossom as a dimension reveals its panorama of possibility. The more we embrace and align with the original template of the I am expressing as me, the more it reveals. Essentially, we are reprogramming the internal computer, the subconscious, to manifest the life and forms and experience we desire and deserve. And to think that for all these years that we've been thinking we did not really have a choice. But this is just not the case. And to amplify that last statement, I mean, how many times have you said or been around someone and said, it's just the way I am, I can't change it? The idea that we hold true to a learned behavior and a perspective of the world is short-sighted, quite literally. And inevitably, with these short-sighted perspectives that we carry, we are getting frequent opportunities to look at them differently. We get frequent opportunities, especially as we age, to see how they just do not serve us. And yet the decision to make the change is of primary importance, and many just choose not to make that. Because once the decision is made to open up the door to realizing, you know what, maybe I've been thinking incorrectly about the way things are. And maybe I've just been continually circling my wagons and missing out on life. Once that is put into place, then the requirements of actually doing something with that are laid upon our awareness. And that requires, again, paying attention. You know, almost every one of these topics we've covered comes down to some of these basic elements that will change everything. And one of the main ones is awareness. It depends on what we pay attention to and what we focus upon that will determine how life shows up for us. And in doing so and starting to pay attention to not only the inner and the outer, and let me just remind you of the fact that the inner and outer do reflect one another. Well, the outer reflects the inner. And as we pay attention to the inner and put new perspectives into place, we get to see how they manifest out in the world by the very forms that show up for us, by the movement of how and the flow and the capacity and the ability for us to actually create some changes that show up, and we find ourselves in a smoother flow. A smoother flow to move through the moments of living. This is a sure sign that inner work has been done and things have been changed because they're showing up on the outside. And again, I'm not seeing a whole lot about this, although it's starting to happen in various readings, and I'm picking up about this idea of the inner template, the idea that we are reawakening to ourselves as opposed to having to learn new tricks in order to become something more. And I've said this before, that is really just an extension of the old self-help model that was really in some ways just a step above the idea of the hierarchy. The whole reason for self-help was to actually fix elements that we have either bought into, have heard about, been taking on, were told about, however other way you want to put it, that there was something awry with us, something wrong, something incorrect, something flawed, that we had to deal with that in order to get X, Y, or Z. And in some ways, it comes down to the simple fact of wanting to be accepted, wanting to be honored, and recognized by the culture, by the people around us. That is the basis on many levels, in many ways, of the self-help movement itself. It's for external purposes, which immediately points to the hole in the soul and the wounds that we carry about our own sense of value. And their own sense of value are beliefs that we hold in place based upon circumstances that, one, we either carried with us when we came in or were had projected upon us or taught to us or forced upon us by those that we gave our own personal power to in the very early days of our lives, early years of our lives. So we're beginning to see that how this all weaves together. It all weaves together, and you can see that as we have taken this journey, some of it was about taking action, some of it was about building the muscles to move the will and to put it into place, because knowing full well that when you start working with stuff like belief systems, you're working with stuff that's pretty enmeshed in the ground. I was just down today working with a client down in a place called Montana de Oro, and it is, I hadn't been there in a long time. And it's you walk down through a eucalyptus forest that used to be a nesting grounds, rookery, I don't know what the correct name is for, but it was where the monarch butterflies would stop on their north-south route. There were, I don't know, billions? There were a lot of these monarch butterflies just dripping off the trees and then flying in the air. They have moved about 20 miles south. It's interesting because south is actually below the nuclear power plant on the coast, and I just thought of that. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. These butterflies just didn't want to bask in the glow. But out there, there were the structure, the geological structure of the shoreline. This was not a beach. This was a series of strata, these layers like shale and sandstone and limestone, these things that just layered upon one another, and they're like just parallelograms laid on one another, just pushed up. And it was a very stark and powerful scene. And it reminded me a lot of how we go ahead and cling to and set in place these belief systems that we use to self-protect, to guide us on our way, to keep us in our self-contained comfort zone so that we can survive and feel good about what's going on. And all around these beautiful rock monuments were seaweed and detritus, energetic, not energetic, but actual physical detritus wash up from plants and various debris upon the shore, and it just sort of slopped over these powerful outcroppings. And it was a very strong visual, and it was a very strong visual, especially with the one who I was working with who was having some issues in a particular area in her body, where it looked like there was some calcification, some debris that was being stuck there that was influencing the mobility and the capacity to move and be free to move with that. We were getting it shown right there in front of us. So it was a powerful experience, but I also saw it in relation to this call, and especially in how the belief systems get layered. And sometimes in the process of the old ways of therapy, we've had to dig back through these layers. that to dig back to see what was underneath the decision that I had made, what prompted that decision, what fearful moment or what encouragement or what force put these things into place. And then with the layering, and then as the energetic debris of life and decision made started to fold, you know, sort of shroud over all of that, that we even completely lost touch with what put these beliefs in place and began to think that, well, this is actually who I am. I hope you're beginning to see that things are very different than we've been taught. And honestly, you don't have to do a thing with it. You have an opportunity to do so. So I'm not just saying that you know, because I'm saying it here, that you have to go and do something about it. You absolutely do not. But if you find that you have dissatisfaction about how things are showing up for you, or if you're beginning to see that certain patterns keep showing themselves over and over again with the invitation to make change, and you're not really knowing how to do that, this information may be useful. Moving on with the content here. Belief alters the biology of the body. As thoughts are fed or changed, the body responds. This is the foundation of healing through attitude. It is in the subconscious mind where the true magic takes place. Here lies a computer program that keeps the train on the established track, resisting influences that may push or pull or invite it elsewhere. The conscious mind can make adjustments and set intentions and vary the speed or when to stop, refuel, and start again. But once we learn the process of altering belief, then we can make significant changes in the forms of our lives, impacting even how life shows up. Our response to these forms is massaged as well, which then reinforces the continued appearance of the intended forms. We feed ourselves the life we intend. This is what's underneath this clearing of beliefs that don't work anymore. And it takes a courageous soul to go ahead and do this, but it also begins to see, and I think I can underscore this and assure you of this, is that even as these new belief systems are put into place, it does not extricate you from having relationship with the way things are right now. All it does is change your response to things, and there's less fear, there's less overwhelm, there's less confusion. Because it's coming down to the point that each of us, in our own capacity, create the world in which we exist. And there's growing evidence in the quantum fields that says just that, that everything that we experience is our own creation. And then I think it starts to bother me down where I go, well, how can I include such and such there? And how can they be having the same experience that I am? And it just doesn't fit yet in terms of a real understanding of it. But what I can attest to is the fact that I've had most of these beliefs that I've put into place for quite some time now. And all it's done is connected me more with life and connected me more with my own sense of power, my comfort, my flow. It's not my comfort zone, but my comfort of being present, of trusting the moments and how they flow, and being willing to stand on the edge of something that I have no idea how it's going to turn out. And of course, you know, I've set up some limitations, and there's hesitations in certain areas that are beginning to come to me. So it's exciting. It's really an adventure to walk into these domains, and this is what this is starting to deliver to us. So I say that because I want to reassure that nothing bad is going to happen. Nothing bad is going to happen from the idea of actually changing a belief. What it does is it opens up the panorama of possibilities, as I said it there a moment ago. Let me move on with a little bit more here. A belief is little more than a thought you have repeated so often it becomes a dominant neural pathway. Physically, a thought is simply a firing of electricity along a pathway of neurons in the brain. Over time, that pathway assumes the mantle of a belief. That belief is a truth you hold about life. And with each belief you build, you train your brain, creating, in a sense, a rule book for your life. And that shows how life works, what you should do, what you should be, how you should behave, what you should expect, and why things happen the way they do. Now, you notice I included a bunch of shoulds in there, which I rarely do. But that's what the rule book does. It's a learned thing that's always pointing its finger at you and telling you how things are supposed to be. And we either subscribe to it, we rebel, or we find a middle ground that oscillates back and forth depending upon the moment. Those are some of the ways that we can deal with these things. Beliefs are not written in stone, but most adults behave as if they are, unchangeable and unyielding, defending them until the end in many cases. These are most likely the spontaneous survival decisions created by your child self. In most cases, they no longer apply, being simply irrelevant. But still they function because of an addictive devotion to the comfort zone or something like that. So you're beginning to just get the sense of beliefs being put into place. They require certain elements. We're going to look at that next. We're going to look at the pieces of that are needed to cement, and it is cementing for the time being, because once it's put into the subconscious, then it takes a great deal of effort and focus and will activity to move it out of that particular place. It certainly is doable, and it certainly is taking, as I said earlier, less time than it has in the past. So let's move on to another element now, which is the process of building beliefs. Now you're going to hear some of this stuff kind of rolls over itself, and there's some repetition in terms of what I'm sharing here. And I'd like to say that it's on purpose, and I believe it is, although as I put these together in separate elements, I wasn't aware that I was doing that. But in order to keep bringing the process into awareness and understanding, it's necessary to use the idea, to use repetition. And so it happens. So beliefs form from the repetition of a thought. We build faith in an idea, and then follow, I had a little mistake here, hold on. Okay, we build faith in an idea and then follow cosmic law to manifest in kind to support the belief. We have a thought we like. We have a thought that is based upon perhaps our survival or an intention that we're putting forth. We like it. We keep using it. We bring it up when the moments of living come our way. And you do understand that the moment that the thought gets into place and we start feeding an energy, that the universe is bound by law to start showing us energetic examples of it. And we start to attract energies that reinforce it or conflict with it. We create a tendency to support that belief by aligning energy to perform and call forth all that is necessary to make it so. I just said that. We interpret our moments through the lens of the belief. It becomes established and maintains in the subconscious mind until it is changed there. So in a very brief way, that is a process. What I want to underscore is that we interpret our moments through the lens of the belief. And that is not rocket scientist, nor is it new information to you. But how much do we pay attention to that? How much do we catch ourselves in the middle of defending something that seems precious to us and see that we are standing on shaky ground of something that really doesn't serve us or has grown out of energetic favor because it no longer applies in the current vibration? Again, awareness, paying attention, monitoring ourselves so that we can catch ourselves with these subtleties, because the world of beliefs is a subtle land. It's so much of it is done deeply on the inside without even our awareness. So in order to actually move into these places, we have to either trick the consciousness and trick the mind to get out of the way or distract itself so that we can actually begin to go in and implant new information that will change the structures of the beliefs that we have grown allegiant to. So we string a succession of thoughts and feelings together so that they eventually become automatic and form a habit, which becomes an attitude. The attitude is a shortened state of being that can fluctuate from moment to moment as we alter how we think and feel. You know what I'm talking about. Wow, you got such attitude today. Or something like that. You've heard it. And you know, the idea of having an attitude is more of a younger generation element that is being used very obviously and very, very accurately. But an attitude has been put into place because of a way of thinking and repetitive of thought. It is not yet a belief, but it's a way of building towards a belief. If the attitude is repeated and maintained long enough, bada bing, then a belief is created. A belief is an extended state of being, thoughts and feelings that we keep thinking and feeling over and over again until we hardwire them in the brain and emotionally condition them into the body. Okay, this is a potent sentence. A belief is an extended state of being, thoughts and feelings that we keep thinking and feeling over and over again until we hardwire them in the body, in the brain, and emotionally condition them into the body. And quite honestly, there's probably some hardwiring going on within the body as well, because they do attach to certain areas in a thematic sort of way, and we already know that the chakras contain those kinds of energies. In a way, we become addicted to the thought, which contributes to the difficulty in changing them and why it is so hard and sometimes painful when they are challenged. A lot of times a belief system will show up in a moment, like a spontaneous reaction to something that has occurred. And when the response is very emotional and very intense and very protective, there's a good chance that that belief system is either on the brink of being outmoded or quite possibly doesn't serve the vibration of who we are anymore. Now, the conscious one will go ahead and pay attention to these things, making note to address it and to look at it and to begin to see, well, how can I begin to alter that? Or what can I do to create a different either response, not either or, but a different response, any different result, and thus raise my vibration to be more fully present in the moment and have access to more of the I am that I am. Most of the beliefs are based on past memories. Our memories are selective. And this may be a surprise. We hold to what we need to support the conclusion set in place by the experience. We hold to what we need to support the conclusion set in place by the experience. Memories are selective. Belief systems often come out of specific memories that we have about an event that may have been difficult, challenging, or traumatic for us. We hold to the elements of it that we need to support what we decided to do with it. And if it was a survival decision, then we are darn well going to be cognizant all the time or often of the woundings that took place. Now, we already know that by the very universal and cosmic law that what we focus upon is drawn to us more and more. So the more we hold to a wounded thought, the greater the capacity is that we continue to experience the woundings over and over in various permutations. From that perspective, it's easy to become a victim of life and to perceive everything from a more negative or down place because we think, shit just keeps happening to me. And we perceive from the inside, because this really is a truth of us all, we are all good people. And by that I mean we have the utmost respect, truthfully by design, for the world and all its inhabitants, and we do not want to inflict or cause pain to anyone, although we sometimes are quite willing to cause it to ourselves. And our thinking is one way that we bring that pain to ourselves. As we revisit, okay, the memory is often less than accurate. As we revisit the memory and thought and feeling and analyze what we remember, we support the creation of an automatic unconscious program. we essentially live in the past. A group of related beliefs strung together will form a perception. The perception of reality is a sustained state of being that is based on long-standing beliefs, attitudes, thoughts, and feelings. This subjective view, now understand, it is a subjective view that is definitely worthy of discussion from whoever's involved in it or the different perspectives. It is a subjective view that is put into place, a reflection of the past experiences and decisions made. Our past then becomes the determiner of how we see the reality before us, how we respond to the moments of living. We become unconscious, not paying attention to what really is there. This is very significant. It's how we snow ourselves. It's how we buy into our own press and how we perpetuate patterns that do not serve us. The routine behaviors are based upon well-established structures of belief that we hold that most likely were made when we were 0 to 6. And that's not to discount our inner child by any means. What a trooper he or she has been to actually hold those frequencies and to keep putting that behavior of protection and survival in place. But most likely we don't need those particular perspectives anymore. Yet they just keep playing themselves out because we keep attracting the energy that supports the belief. We keep feeling like we need them, when really, if we let go of the belief, we would stop attracting the vibration and the energies that require that we hold the belief. It sounds like a catch-22, but there's a way out. We do something different. We change our thinking on this. That is the beginning. In one of the books I'm reading on neurosculpting, I think the woman's name is Lisa Weinberger. And she is doing a lot of work with law enforcement and others and helping them work with the idea of how, about belief systems. And she does, and maybe you've seen this, there's a YouTube video out, and I actually have seen it, and I remember it now. I didn't think in the beginning I did, but I realized I did. And it's a video that underscores how we actually can physically change how our senses work based upon our beliefs or our preferences. Because what this is if we have I'm forgetting what the word is at the moment. I want to say it, and it's just on the tip of my tongue. Da 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 da. Okay, I'll have to come back to it. Expectation. Thank you. Expectations can bend and shape the living light. I have that in a song called Energy. It is the power of the process to actually alter the way the senses work for us. This particular video, and I'm actually a little bit hesitant to tell you what goes on in there, because it would be good to get the link and have you watch it. Although, now let me just tell you. And you may have had experience with something like this before. Anyway, this group of people, this person stood in front of them and said they wanted them to watch a video. And they wanted them to watch the video with the idea to see how many times the ball gets passed between the people in the video. There's a basketball game going on, and they just want them to count how many times it's passed. So the expectation is set. The intention is there. Everybody is watching this video, focusing only on the times the ball moves from one hand to the other. Now, halfway through the video, A person in a gorilla suit comes out and dances in the middle of when the ball's being passed and then disappears. It's something like less than 10% of the people, when quizzed about what they saw there, actually saw what was going on in the video. They completely masked it out. They completely masked it out. There was no gorilla in the movie. Most of the people were unwilling to admit such a thing until they saw it again. When she showed it again, they actually were told that something, a surprise, is going to happen in the movie or in the video. They weren't told what to look for, but the different mindset was they had an anticipation. And even then, 70% of the people saw that there was something there. Still, 30% of the people did not see what was there. And yet it was there. It happens with our hearing, and it happens with our vision primarily, and maybe even we shut down our experience of touch and sensation. But we hear what we hear, and oftentimes we can shut those elements down based upon our particular programming or the intensity of the moment. But this is really important in terms of how we deceive ourselves and we alter the way that we get reality or we experience reality based upon what our expectation is. Now, we're going to look at what an expectation is here in a moment because I know it's coming. Okay, I'm doing my best to find back where I just was. Okay, but based on, we essentially live, as we revisit the memory in thought and feeling and analyze what we remember, we support the creation of an automatic unconscious program. We essentially live in the past, a group of related beliefs strung together to form a perception. The perception of reality is a sustained state of being that is based on long-standing beliefs, attitudes, thoughts, and feelings. The subjective view is a reflection. I know I'm reading this again, but I think it's very important. Is a reflection of the past experiences and decisions made. Our past then becomes a determiner of how we see the reality before us, how we respond to the moments of living. We become unconscious, not paying attention to what is really there. So if we desire to change our perception, we must become more conscious and less unconscious, which requires increasing attention to all aspects of self and life that we have previously stopped paying attention to. Over and over, I have been in situations with people that were close to me where we kept running a pattern. And the invitation for both of us was just do something different. And unfortunately, at least in one setting, the idea of doing something different felt like it was a criticism. And again, there's a belief system that anything that is asking for a change in behavior in order to make the mutual relationship better is perceived as a criticism and then a defense against statement. So communication stops, and there really is no opportunity under that circumstance for any change to take place for either parties. In essence, we have to wake up, change the level of awareness, and become conscious of what we were unconscious about. Now, you understand, not everybody's willing to do this. Some people are just going through life fairly unconscious, and they're fine with that. It requires not much of you. However, I believe that what's happening in these times is that the cosmos is intervening on that and forcing everyone to deal with at least creating a greater awareness. Honestly, I believe that it's the deepest elements that have been ignored that are impacting us to the greatest degree are being released and cleared. And people are responding to it in different ways. We must change our state of being, finally seeing the old limited beliefs as the prejudiced records of the past that they are, and then be willing to let go of them in order to embrace the new beliefs about self that will create the new reality. It is important to know that beliefs set in place in the past are not necessarily so in the now moment. You would think that we would all know this. But there are beliefs put in place at a very young age that are acted upon until the day that someone dies. oftentimes at the last moment before someone leaves the planet and all their senses open up, there are revelations and there are incredible healings that occur at the moment of awareness that allow a shift in perspective. It's like a whole new paradigm takes place, and the tragedy of that is that it's not going to be able to be acted upon in terms of a mutual experience. Those left behind are going to be able to experience the awareness and the understanding that finally something was released in its form and the spell was broken. But again, the sadness is that the other party won't be there to experience that. The beliefs we have bought into. Wait, it's important to the belief set in place of past, not necessarily so. Okay. And yet we continue the same old devotion to the maintenance of the comfort zone of the known. These beliefs reflect our current truth, which then serves to be the magnetic force that attracts the reinforcing forms of our lives. Okay, that's just principle. That's the law in action. Whatever is our current truth, that's what keeps getting thrown into our face. And we can count upon it. We can count on it to show up regularly. And that lulls us into not paying attention. We forget to see what isn't really working for us. There's a hesitation to take the first step to put things into motion to create the change because it's a fear-driven element that often holds something in place. Sure, it's in the tissue, but oftentimes the unwillingness to move forward, as we've established already, is a second, third chakra element. Fear-based and also a weak will or a struggle with power or a sense of no value, those all interfere with a willingness to move forward. And if we indeed have bought into perceiving ourselves as less than, then we're going to hesitate to make risks that would require us to actually maybe go out and do something and stumble and fumble and fall and then get up again and then triumph at a point over the change. The beliefs that we have bought into create the forms of our lives. They are based on decisions of survival made in our child state. They are familial conditions and mores and injunctions forced upon us by repeated support or consequences. They are the social and cultural tendencies and demands and ways of being that surround us and are replicated into our being by engaging the culture, in other words, fitting in. Fitting in is an insidious element that forces compromise over and over and over again. And the folly of it, and in a sense maybe even the tragedy, there's that word again, is that it's an ever-changing norm, and that's the thing. I just want to be normal. I just want to be normal, and no one knows what normal is. It's an ever-changing process that can be, we can sit and have three people talk about it, and there'll be three different normals. So you see, we're up against a field that is oscillating all the time, not because it's vibration, but more so because it's an agreed-upon element that was never fully understood, and it's a fear-based vibration that keeps messing with it. To change a belief, you have to first accept that it is a possibility. Then you change the level of energy and heightened emotion that you feed it. And then you allow your body to reorganize itself. This is really a three-step process that can be put into place. But did you hear the acceptance that it's possible? Then you alter the level of energy in it and the emotional impact that you put onto it. And then you allow your biology to reorganize itself. Hear what this is saying, because the cells are invested in the process of making a belief. They're the ones that are actually carrying out the dirty work, if you will. They're the ones who are putting things into motion and in place so that the system itself realigns with this new perspective. The reorganization just happens when you change your intent and action to claim and create the new belief. You change intent, you change action, and that marshals the energy in the inside, in the cellular structure, to begin to align in that direction. Once the energy of the new decision becomes greater than the hardwired program in the brain and the emotional addiction in your body, then you become greater than your past, and your body will respond to the new mind, thus affecting real change. So the energy has to be more than the status quo of what was in place. And this is why emotion is so powerful in this. And as we start to look at these techniques for recreating, for putting new paradigms and new beliefs into place, we will see that there is an emotional element. And you've heard this in the manifestation programs. You've heard it in The Secret, where they said when you intend something, you have to put a lot of emotion. So you see it, you feel it, you taste it, you put it in your room, and you lie upon it, whatever it is you have to do, you caress it, you love it, you do all those things to make it something beyond just a statement. The new thought must be reinforced over and over to allow the repetition necessary to facilitate the change. We must pay attention and make the necessary in-the-now adjustments to continue to steer us in the new direction. And this is where so many fall apart, is when there's a little bit of resistance for the change. A lot of people stop right there. They're not willing to adjust and make alterations so that they can move through it, staying true to what's behind it. And we must feed the new belief the strong emotional support necessary to establish the visceral energy that sustains the mental activity. The new experience will reorganize the old programming, and in so doing, it will remove the neurological evidence of the past experience. You hear what I'm saying there? In the process of doing this new belief system, the emotional energy floods through the system, and it literally rewires or erases the neurological pattern that is in place that sustained the old behavior. This is what's called neurosculpting. This is the process where you can go in and redirect. You know how you're down at the ocean or whatever? You're down at the water is in a little stream moving towards the ocean from a little land lake, and you go ahead and you this is what kids do, and I actually go down there and do it a lot myself, but you change the direction of the stream. And then the flow dries up in the other one. It's not fed anymore. So this is, in a sense, what we're being asked to do here to make this a full-bodied experience. Removes the neurological evidence of the past experience. So some interesting information now. The atom is 99.9999% space, or interconnected energy, an invisible field of information. So this is the very substance I'm going to talk about right now, upon which an intention, a belief, is placed. It's put into the energetic information, the matter. Well, it's not the matter. It's the energy that sustains or supports the matter. Okay, I can't even paraphrase it here. Let me go back to what I wrote. The energy, an interconnected energy, an invisible field of information. You have the atom itself and then all the space that surrounds the atom. Within the atomic structure of one element, it is over 99% space. And that space is the malleable energetic substance that is used to create form. The energy appears chaotic, unpredictable, disobeying the laws of time and space. In this quantum soup, you start to see these things, and they don't appear to follow any of the traditional guidelines or the established guidelines that we have in place about the way things come and go and move. So, and essentially, this energy exists as a tendency, a probability, or a possibility. And here's what's very interesting, and you may have already been aware of this. Your attention, your observing, and focus causes the particles to appear in the field. When you look away, they become visible. I'm sorry, they become invisible. As you bring your focus to the field, to the energy field where the potentiality exists, you make manifest the form. This is how we put things into place. We call them in from everywhere through our focus via observation. It's as if in the entire quantum soup here, this space within the atom itself, within all of the atoms, exists as the potential. When we call it forth through our intention, It comes from everywhere to make manifest the form that we intend. Thus, anything we can imagine already exists as potential and possibility in the quantum field, waiting for you to observe it, to make manifest, observe, then expect, and then embrace with emotion. You observe, that puts the energy in motion. You expect it to happen, that fuels it with the fire, and then you embrace it with emotion. You claim it as in place. To make manifest, observe, then expect, then embrace with emotion, we can make manifest that which we desire as the cosmic soup is set up for it. Observations, and more precisely, your expectations command the unformed energy to manifest into physical reality. Expectations are derived unconsciously from your beliefs. Your expectations, which continually command the field of energy to manifest as physical reality, are created by what you believe. So do you understand that the expectations come from the beliefs? What you expect to see, what you expect to happen, is being pulled into form by the power of those expectations. Without the expectation, the form does not manifest. Your beliefs are your most practiced habitual thoughts. They are subjective and true for you alone because you made them so. You can change any belief you choose if you want to align a belief with the desire you have. If you change a belief, then the expectations it unconsciously creates will naturally change as well. Once expectations change, the corresponding physical reality will change for you also. Guaranteed. It is the law. So when Jose came along with his four agreements, one of them was about setting expectations. And on one hand, having no expectations allows you to be surprised and allows you to be in the flow. But if your work in process, where you're really beginning to work your beliefs to create a new experience for yourself and to align with the new energies of the time, then in a sense you want to make expectations your ally. It's just that your expectations are in alignment with the law itself and with the belief itself, the beliefs that are life-sustaining as opposed to the other kind. Whew. Good stuff. Good stuff. And now very quickly, just a short one on the power of choice, as if, and repetition. In any moment, we have the point of choice. We either affirm an existing belief or set the opening for the change of a belief. When we interfere with the status quo, we open the door to change. Crossing that threshold reveals the opportunity to alter the course of our life in the next moment. Doing so will attract more opportunities to do the same. The succession of choices then lays the groundwork for the change in our belief paradigm. Once the intention is set to create inner change and response to life, then specific techniques can be applied to propel the momentum to a higher vibration of living, which is what we're going to look at next week. So you see, the choice, you make the choice to either affirm. Now, this is a moment-by-moment choice that we're making. We are at the level right now we can catch ourselves in the beliefs that don't work for us anymore. They just don't resonate with us. They're like a penknife in the kidney or something, maybe not that intense, but they're just like a burr in the saddle. They irritate us. They don't seem to fit. We pause after we express them, or we find ourselves hesitating as we even enter into the realm of claiming it. That's the point of choice at there. And at that point, we decide to do something different. That thing that we do different, that choice that we made, is that beautiful threshold that we cross. And in doing so, that activates the universal law of attraction, that activates the energy of like vibration to come and reflect that which you intended. And the moment you recognize that and lay claim to it, it begins to attract more. The more that comes, then the greater the tendency is to keep applying the choice, which then feeds more of the energy coming the way, and the next thing you know, you've got a new paradigm. You've got a new way of doing things. And it only happened because you took advantage of the law and you made your choice first to do something different. As the cosmos is functioning on a higher spiritual law that is directly applicable to the forms of the moment by those who consciously engage it, the power to fake it till you make it is a useful tool. In choosing to do something despite the lack of belief or support will start an intentional vibration. Energy begins to align that can initiate a deeper understanding of that which you are doing and even marshal the forces necessary to bring in skills and talents and perspectives to actually make it so. Your intentional movement is a powerful force. It breaks through any resisting thought or energetic blockage to implant an excitement, a confidence, a willingness to spend more time doing this very thing. It initiates the spark that will stoke the fire that moves you toward actualization. So faking it till you make it is like, I'm looking for the metaphor here. You fake it till you make it, you basically are telling the cosmos that you're not interested in what appeared to be, but you're putting in a new form right away, and you're going to claim it through your own investment of energy and intention and probably emotion. In my song that came off of that internet email that I got one day years ago, I'm going to work as if I don't need the money, love as if I never been hurt, dance as if no one is watching, sing as if I know I won't be heard, I have this moment to be the all I am, what's done is now behind me, I feel myself expand, oh yeah. This is that process being put into motion. There is a frequency of that intention and the investment of your energy and your vibration and the emotion that you put into it that brings results. So you're looking at the capacity to make a choice at a point of awareness to do something different. That activates the energy and magnetic energy to bring a difference to you. Doing something as if, knowing full well that you don't know how to do it. Dance as if no one is watching. You know, when you do that, you're just completely immersed in it and you allow your body to move without any self-consciousness. So you do it. That is the frequency that brings results to you. So why not enter that frequency to create that which you desire, which is really what we're working with here. And finally, on repetition with this, it's that skills are learned by repetition of movement or action. Muscle memory is put into place. Neural pathways are grooved. Mental skills are programmed. Repeated thoughts become beliefs that turn into perspectives that become a personal or expansive paradigm. Repetition requires attention and willingness to sustain itself. Monitoring success is useful, as is altering the environment and the time of your activity. And what I'm saying here is that repetition is repetition. This is the power of mantra. This is the power of a chant. This is the power of what I'm calling a lot of my songs as intentional songs. They repeat themselves over and over. They kick out of the way any debris that might be in resistance to it. And in so doing, they establish a new framework upon which to build. But the repetition is necessary. Some people say, oh, this is so boring. This is so boring. Well, I submit that being bored is a choice. Being bored as a choice. Is something we can do at any time. But boredom is, you know, surrendering to that. Sorry, my telephone's ringing there and it's very distracting at the moment. So choosing to be bored because of repetition is not recognizing the power of something and what it takes to put something in place. You've already are a master at putting a belief in place because you've done it with how many different beliefs. You know that it took attention. You know it took emotion. You know it took an investment of time. You know it took monitoring. You know it took your awareness. You know that it took your willingness to stand up for it, which is an emotional process. All of those things put it into place. And now the irony of that is you find that it doesn't serve you. But in a sense, it's not just the irony, it's also the glory of it, because we now have an understanding, a greater understanding, of what it takes to actually make some significant shifts in how life shows up for us. And that is what we're looking at in this sequence of elements that we're doing here for this session, next week's session, and quite possibly one more down the road, which may be three in a row. So I appreciate your willingness to be flexible in this. Okay, so let's move now to just a very quick relationship between chakras and beliefs. The chakras play an energetic role in establishing and maintaining beliefs. Stinking thinking can impact the health of accompanying chakras. This is a thematic impact where the corresponding chakra suffers based on what the thought or belief is about. If I completely immerse myself in fearful thinking, it is guaranteed that my sacral chakra will be compromised. In compromising the sacral chakra, you can be guaranteed also that you're going to have an impact in the will center and your feelings of sense of power and your ability to act upon your decisions, if you can even make them, will be compromised. In no time at all, because of those elements and energies beginning to slow down and be infested in those areas, the heart loses its capacity to have the fire. Our throat is compromised because we can't speak the truth out of fear. Our vision becomes a shadow of what it was, and our connection with the cosmos becomes a compromised trust at best. And then conversely, we lose our connection with the planet because our root chakra has trouble sustaining this fearful energy. And just from thinking, just from belief systems, we can do this. One can focus on chakra health and do much to empower the thought process. So by tending the chakra garden, as we've done already, and that you've learned to do, you realize that that actually improves your capacity to have thoughts that are in alignment with life. And it would allow you to be more successful at changing some of those thoughts and replacing them. Assisting in clearing blockages of energy frees up the very energy that has helped to keep the thought in place. Fear-based thoughts are a second chakra issue. Power, will, and action are centered in the solar plexus. Love, compassion, and empathy leading to community creation are heart chakra issues. Foundation and survival are the frequency of the root chakra. And then we bring in the backside chakras. Because the backside chakra, especially at the solar plexus, influences the quality of the information that is received by the body. This is where inspiration comes in, if you'll recall. It is where the idea enters, and the idea is then immersed in the will and empowered, and then is sent up to the vision center, into the pituitary, where it gathers the momentum and the cosmic influence to be put into form and projected out through the third eye. If we're all messed up in our thinking there, there's a good chance that we're interfering with the flow of that raw energy that's coming in through the back. Tending the backside of the throat and the third eye will assist in assuring that the spoken word is in alignment with the thoughts produced. The third eye back remaining open allows the cosmic infinite variations of possibility to be made available to be amplified in the pituitary gland for projection out into the third eye. So the idea and information comes up through the backside at the solar plexus. And if our thinking is compromised because we believe that we are powerless, if we believe that we don't have the right to act upon our ideas, if we believe anything that is compromising there, that we're too afraid to share, to clear our anger, that we have no right to make a stand, then there's a good chance you're not going to get much activity out of your intentions. See, when you look at all of these kinds of changes that we can make from the Piscean perspective, it's black or white, or it's either or. it only sees things as a commodity. It sees energy as a commodity that can be used. But the pureness of these times is such that the energy of thought that comes in is a powerful force that we can make happen. We can make and mold it into that which we desire. And the more we align with being a steward of life and being someone who affirms the magnificence and the majesty of humanity as well as all living beings, including the earth, then we realize that we can do very, very powerful things, not only for ourselves, but anyone who comes into our energy field. I'm going to move down now to a quick rehash. And it's relevant to do this because they are so insidious, these old beliefs. I really want you to, when you get a chance, when you get this sent to you, to look at all of these things that we have been taught. And I have pulled this from a previous session. It's the influence of the old paradigms, of the Piscean model. And these things that we have been taught, just some of them, that we are limited beings. How much have we bought into that? Others who have it tell us how to get it. How often do we give away our power to someone who claims to be a master of this or a authority on this or et cetera, when they don't? Oftentimes teaching is just about being one step ahead of the students, doing your preparation so that you're able to show up with something new to pull them into the next awareness level for them. We've been taught that we need an intermediary to contact spirit. That was a purposeful choice that was made to rob people of their connection with the cosmos, and in so doing make them dependent and therefore subservient and also willing to give money to those who self-proclaimed that they were the intermediaries, when for God's sakes, literally, they had no more connection with the source than you or I could have. In fact, there's probably even less because of the nature of what it was coming from. The idea that we get weaker as we age, the idea that we are prone to disease, these are not necessarily so, and yet they are so perpetuated by advertising, by belief systems, by the prevalence of hospitals and the prevalence of the pharmaceutical industry that we just give up. So many, look around the streets, there's so many people that have given up because they believe that it's hopeless. Pills will make everything better. We were taught that feelings are not to be trusted, and so we stuff them. And what does that do? Compromise our power, compromise our capacity to be in our wholeness. The list is huge. Check it out. And you know, if you will, I really invite you to look at this under the knowing of which ones really have you given power to. Circle them. Become aware of what those are, because those are belief systems that must be altered. They must be put in place with something that is of a higher frequency in the new form here. And that can come on another page I have. It says new paradigms to consider. Now, you notice I didn't say, this is the way it is, so you better believe these things. That would be silly. I respect your capacity to make decisions for yourself greater than anything that's going on here. So absolutely, I want you to consider that these might be a possibility for you. And in so doing, see how they alter your life. Some things about us, that these are new paradigms. There is nothing wrong with you. Just sit for a moment with that idea. What would change if you believed that to be true? If you knew that was true, that there is nothing wrong with you, how would your moments of living alter? What if there was nothing to prove to anyone? How would things change for you? What if you really knew that you were powerful beyond your current knowing? What if you knew that you were always in the right and best place at the right time? So the invitation is to pay attention. Would you show up differently in your moments? Would you see something that appears to be one thing in a different light because you have the intent, the expectation that it has a gift for you? What are you experiencing, that what you are experiencing in this moment is the best tool to reawaken your deep knowing of who you are? very similar to what I just said. You're here to fully remember who you are and to then live in that frequency without hesitation. You want the meaning of life? Well, hello. I mean, what else do you need? It's just to live as you and find that frequency and be in it 100% of the time, 150% of the time, and experience life from that frequency. There is no greater energy that can move out and impact the world than you living in your power, in your fullness. You have to ask for help when you want it. This whole thing about being isolated and being alone, it's a choice. You have to open and be open and willing to receive that help when it comes. That's a whole other paradigm to consider. That your body is a perfect vehicle in which to experience this earthly dimension, especially when you take care of it. And to remember that nothing is as it seems. How does that change everything? It takes away your gut-level response to something and allows you to see it in a grander scheme. And what if really, really indeed you trusted and fully believed that all life forms are connected, that they're unique expressions of the divine Christ essence? How would that change your relationship with life? How would that change how you interact with somebody? It's a sense of wonder to be in the presence of another being. I was just down having lunch today and you know, the server comes up to the table and does the spiel. But throughout the whole thing, there was no eye contact in the entire time. It's like, what is that? What is that sense of disconnect that's going on? And sure, we can say social media or the very things that I'm talking on right now, these phones, these computers. Or is it something else? Is it a fear-based energy that we are less than? Is it a fear that we don't want to give away our power? What is all of that? And it can be melted away in a moment if we choose to make eye contact with someone. Because not only does that validate them, it validates us. And we get witnessed by the magic that goes between eye contact. So you read through these. Decide which ones serve you. Take one of them. Take one of them and begin to see the world through these eyes and say, this is what it is. This is how it is. All right. It's 8:29. Here's my invitation for the week. I really would invite you to, there's actually several invitations now. One is to look at all of these things, to read through the information as soon as you get it. Now, I'm working with a client for the next 2 days, and I may not be able to get this out until tomorrow night. Worst case, it'll be Thursday morning, but I will get it out as quickly as I can so that you can actually begin to work. And in the meantime, please take a piece of paper, the one that I asked you to get out, and I really want you to start writing down what you believe in. How do you base your life? On what do you base your life? What are the things that determine how you respond to the moments of living that come your way? What are the things that you believe about life? What are the things you believe about people? And be honest with yourself and recognize that the beliefs that may not be, you know, spiritual, because they're there. They're there. Your beliefs about prosperity, your beliefs about work. What do you believe about these things? What are the pieces in place that have steered your actions and also, as a result of the actions, the forms that come into life? Look at places where you do not feel served, where you do not feel honored in the way that things are showing up for you. There's a belief in there somewhere. Take the time this week to begin to unearth those. Ask for guidance on that, for information from your higher self to come forth. Spend time with your little child and see what beliefs were put in there and he or she put into place and keeps holding on to like they're a diamond. It's time to look and to become aware of that which has directed us for so long. Obviously, there are beliefs in there that work. Become aware of those too. Make a note of those so that you keep reinforcing them through thought and action and intention. feed them and nourish them, and know that whenever you do, the magnetic energy of that action brings more of that to you. And we'll be looking at next week as we look into something called neurosculpting. We'll also look probably at, in some elements at the NLP process in making manifest. Look at the subconscious reprogramming through the use of brain states and some of those alternate means that allow us to do reprogramming. We'll see how chant and mantra and intentional song can be useful vehicles for changing belief systems. And then we'll look at what's called heart-centered thinking. If you've ever done heart math or been aware of that idea, we looked at it before, but we'll put it into action in relation to thoughts. If you start running your thoughts and your choices of what to do through your heart before you go anywhere else with it, you might start to see that life has a different flow to it. It has a different impact. It becomes softer, and it becomes more embracing. I don't know. But we'll look at those kinds of things, and we'll put some of these things in action. And again, look through both the lists. The Piscean model of the things that we were programmed to believe, they're still in our cells, they're in our tissues. There's influence of those when we hesitate. When we stop to see the magnificence of the person in front of us, we're holding on to some of those old methodologies that we learned. It's time to release them. And may we develop a process over the next several weeks where we can actually do that, let them go. But do know that you have been served information that is going to serve you on many deep levels. You don't even have to remember any of it. It's already doing its work. All right, I'm blessed by your choice to be a part of this, and we have Tools for the Times next Tuesday, where we'll look into a deeper exploration of the activity of these, put them into motion, as well as some information about what some of these techniques are about. And I may even have more information that I haven't even presented, even on some of the topics that we're looking at here, because I know I've read some things that I didn't put in there. Having said that, there'll be an extensive bibliography that will allow you to do some research on your own, if you so desire. All right. I'm honored and blessed by your choice to be here, like I said, and I wish you well through the course of this week. Start looking at what's been holding your life together. What kind of thoughts, what kind of beliefs, what do you hold to? Watch your expectations. Watch how you set up things, perhaps for disappointment or for celebration. Begin to notice. Maybe it's time for a notebook to go with you as you observe and make notes. Why not? Why not? All right, I'll stay on the line for a moment here just to see if there's any comment, question that I can address. Otherwise, we are done. I hear the sound of tumbleweeds out in the desert, where it's just the sound of the wind blowing through our energy fields, and that's it. Blessings. May your week be filled with all that you desire. Thank you so much. We are done now.